Well, welcome back. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Again, my brothers and sisters, and I welcome you. Thank you, and God bless you for honoring our Lord today and sitting down on purpose and sitting down to study God's Word and to be around God's Word. The Lord is pleased with that. Every time you sit down around His Word and honor His Word, the Lord is pleased with that. And that's one thing that we're very interested in doing, is being pleasing to our Lord, isn't it? It is with me, and I'm sure it is with you if you're listening to this right now. I'm honored that you would study with us, and today we're going to go back into our study of the letter D, and that is for death. Remember, actually it's study number D2. This is the second letter in the alphabet with the letter D. Get tongue-tied trying to talk about alphabet. But anyway, we're studying about death, and we've been over quite a bit already. And have you found out anything that you found out that's new in the Scriptures that you just didn't know from before, from reading about the death of a saint? Yeah. There's a lot of people that don't have any idea what happens to them whenever they get saved or whenever they die if they're born again. And we went over that pretty in depth last two recordings. And today we're going to recap just a little bit, and we're going to go in talking about a completely different sort of death. It's the same thing about having to do with the body and the soul, but completely different people and completely different scenario in the Scriptures. The Bible doesn't talk the same thing about the death of the wicked as He talks about the death of the saints. Completely different road, completely different avenue, completely different ending. And we need to know these things. And when we do know these things, as far as we're concerned, if the Lord was to come back right now, or if we were to depart from the body tonight, if we were to go to bed, and what would happen to us if the Lord wanted us to come home tonight? What would happen to our body? It would fall asleep, wouldn't it? The Bible says that the body falls asleep, and I don't know how a dead body sleeps, but that's what the Bible says. No place in the Scripture does the Bible say that a saint's body is dead. It talks about the dead, but it doesn't call the body of a saint dead. It calls them sleeping. And I'm sure there's a difference because the Lord made the difference. And you'll see that when we study this part today about the death of the wicked. Okay? So we talked about the definition of death, the event of dying or departure from life. Remember we went over this thing and wondered what the world definition of death was and what they thought death was and just so many different things and stuff like that. Death's mentioned in the Bible many times, almost 200 times. The word death and dead are mentioned in the Scriptures. It's not foreign to the Scriptures to talk about death. Death is one of the major and main reasons that everything is going on between God and man. Death fell upon men because men are sinners. And death is a curse. It's a curse. And the Lord said in the end, when everything winds up and all of this is over and we're with the Lord and the wicked are in hell and the devil is in hell and the lake of fire and all this winds up, the Lord says, and the last enemy to be defeated is death. Is death. So you see, death is a major enemy of the Lord that the Lord's trying to destroy, is to get rid of death altogether. And I'm glad of that, aren't you? I'm glad the Lord doesn't like death. I don't like it either. But I'm glad that the way that the Scriptures describe death for the saints, in the way that it does, aren't you? The Bible says that, you know, how's death described in the Scriptures? We went over that, and it's called sleeping in Jesus. To sleep in Jesus, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians. And then it also says that death is described as blessed for the saints. Nowhere in the scripture does it say anything about a saint having trouble or agony or pain or misery or anything like that having to do with death when it comes to a saint. A born-again, Bible-believing, or Old Testament saint that died, they were not saved, they were not born again. No Old Testament saint is born again. They died in righteousness, but they died differently, and their status was different. We'll go into all that on another study. But nevertheless, they're in heaven too. The Lord made way for all that to happen also. Death is described as blessed for the saints. It's also described as a gain. A gain. Now, that's one thing the world can't wrap around your head. Now, I can wrap it around mine a little bit. And that it's a gain to go to heaven. After the Apostle Paul, you read after him, he tells us that it's a gain, and the Apostle Peter and all the apostles, when they finally found out what the gospel of the grace of God is, when the book of Acts finished up and it made that final change over to what this new dispensation is that we live in today, this time, this dispensing of something from the Lord during a period of time is the gospel of the grace of God, and that's what we live in today. We don't have to work for salvation. As a matter of fact, you cannot work for salvation. The only thing you do is receive it by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, and the Lord gives you enough faith to be born again, and your will is a free agent, and if you choose to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Lord seals you at that very billionth of a second. He seals you for eternity, and you are born into the family of God, and you're saved. The Bible says that it's a gain to die in the Lord. Death is described as a gain. We also said that death is as peace. It's mentioned, and when death is described for the saint in the Bible, in God's Word, it's described as a matter of peace. Peace. And I'm glad of that, aren't you? Death is also described as a crown of righteousness, we read and we studied, and the scriptures backed up. It also said that there were a lot of people that exemplified death. We looked over a lot of different our forefathers, if you will, the brothers and sisters that were saved and were recorded in God's Word for God to teach us something. The Old Testament is for our learning and an example to us for our learning. And we looked over some folks. For instance, Abraham. Abraham was an example of a saint's death. We looked over how he died and what went on at his death, and then Isaac also. And nowhere in the Bible does it say, well, he is dead. He is dead. The Bible said, and he slept with his fathers. He slept with a completely different way of saying things. And the Holy Ghost did that on purpose. Concerning death for the saints. I also looked at Jacob, and the same thing, and the way he died, everything just matched right up and fell in order. Everyone we looked at, Elisha's death, he died sick, and a sick man, but yet it said he slept, and it said it was peaceful, and he slept with his fathers. These old bodies right here, they're dying, they're wearing out, and whatever comes of it, if we have to die with cancer, or whatever the Lord's will is, I hope none of you do, I hope I don't, I hope that you don't know anybody that's dying, and if you do, pray for them, that the Lord would give them strength to get through it, and until the Lord gives them, you know, lets them leave the body and come be with him. But these old bodies, they're going to die, and unless the Lord comes, and we might as well just swallow and say, okay, that's the way it's going to be. But I believe what God's Word says, and it's not going to be like the wicked. And we're going to talk about that today. We found out that the saved thief that Jesus promised him that he would be in paradise with him today. And he was an example of death. He was still on the cross when Jesus said it is finished and bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Them two thieves were still alive. And, excuse me, and the Roman soldiers came over there and were ordered to break their legs so they could die before the sun went down for spiritual reasons, for all the ritualistic, traditional stuff that, you know, don't leave them on the cross. They're not to be on the cross. That was under the law and stuff like that. But that's the reason they did it, was for legal reasons and stuff like that, having to do with what the Lord said in the law. But it didn't make no difference to them. They just got through murdering the Son of God. What'd they care about two thieves hanging up on a cross and spending time over there over the night? They didn't care nothing about that, but they just putting on that, you know, big old show where they walk around and show how spiritual they are. But nevertheless, the thieves that were on the cross, the one that that believed on the Lord Jesus, the Lord promised him that when he died, when he left that body, he was going to be with him in paradise. And notice one other thing. both of them thieves, if you read your Bible right and rightly divide it, you'll find out that both of them thieves were railing on the Lord Jesus at the beginning. Both of them were talking about him and talking bad about him and trying to get him to save him and get him off the cross and save him and all that kind of stuff. But that one that got saved, he changed. He changed his mind and he reprimanded the other one. Okay? And he got saved. But when the Lord promised that thief that he would be with him in paradise today, he said, he never turned his head and spoke to the other one. And never said, you're not going to be there or you're going to be there. He never even bothered to speak to that other one. Because he was wicked and he was on his way to hell. And the Lord knew that he wasn't going to accept him as his Savior, so he didn't bother to speak to him. But he spoke to the one that said that was going to die in the Lord and fall asleep. And he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And he was. And he was. And just like the Lord said, he's in heaven with the Lord now. Okay, so today we're going to go in and talk about the death of the wicked. The death of the wicked. And this is not a very popular kind of thing. The Bible talks, and we're going to go over that, what the Lord's mind is concerning people dying without the Lord. There's a lot of people think that God is a big, fluffy, smiley-faced God up in heaven that just can't wait to give somebody a big, fat kiss and tell them how good they are and big hug, and that's the way God is. Well, God is that way, and he does show us love. He's not superficial with his love. He's real and genuine with his love. And you'll find that out if you know anything about the Lord. You know that his love is not a joke. It's not theatrical. The Lord's love is real and genuine, and it's special. But when it comes to the death of the wicked, the Lord has a completely different mind concerning them. The Bible says that the Lord is angry with the wicked every day, that he's angry with them. And the Bible says also in other places that he'll laugh at their calamity. When your trouble comes, the Lord said that he'd laugh at them in their face. And, excuse me. But all this stuff about God loves the wicked and he loves the sinners and he loves this and he loves that. God's love is extended through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's love. Jesus is God's love. And anybody that wants to go through Jesus is going to get God's love and going to get it genuinely and get it from the Lord on purpose. And the Lord's going to love them and adopt them and bring you into the family just like he did us. But if you're an enemy of God and you're an enemy of Jesus Christ, you're an enemy of the Father. And the Father is going to think the same thing about you. You're an enemy. The Bible says that the wrath of God abides on you It's not going to abide on you. It does abide on you if you're not born again. If you're not, if you've not believed on Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and gone through Jesus to get to God so that you can seal up the matter of this sin matter between you and the Lord, and y'all be able to hug and love one another again, then you're the enemy of God. God's not walking around sweating it out and twiddling his thumbs, wondering. He's already done everything and provided everything for people to get saved. And if people don't want the Lord Jesus Christ, that's fine. The Lord's not going to interrupt their will. The will is a free agent, and the Lord will try to get people saved all the way up till their last breath, but he will never make you accept Jesus Christ. He never interferes with your will. The will is not subject to sin, and it's not subject to the curse. The will is the will. And you have a will as long as you live and as long as you breathe, and you're able to accept the Lord Jesus Christ anytime you want to. And the Lord says that if you die, the Bible says if you die without Jesus Christ, you willed it to be that way. Because God does every, the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish. And I believe that. That is the way God is, and I believe that. I know the Lord, and I know that's the way he is. He saved me. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And there are people in this world that would rather die and go to hell than they would believe on Jesus Christ and humble themselves before God and accept him as their Savior and be saved. That they're going to die and they're going to go to hell, and that's the end of it. And God's going to do everything and has done, but he continues to do and to make situations to where people can hear the gospel again and get saved again. And he hears the prayers of everybody that's saved, that's praying for somebody else. And he is busy about doing stuff like that to get people saved. But if they've already denied him 1,000 times and just are stuck in their mind that they're not going to receive God, they hate God, get out of my face, God, I'll die and go to hell, and I'll party with my party buddies down in hell, and we're going to have a big party. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You'll see when you get there, buddy. But the Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And there's people that are not going, they're going to remain the enemy of God for their entire time that they're in the body. They're going to die and they're going to go straight to hell. That's the bottom line of what the scripture says. So let's talk about the death of the wicked. Well, the first thing is the death of the wicked is the result of sin. It's the result of sin. The reason that you were saved and you had to be born again was because of the result of sin, that sin kills. The Bible says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All have sinned. So the reason that death exists is because of sin. When Adam sinned, sin entered into the world. That's where it come from. Before Adam sinned, there was no sin in the world. When Adam sinned, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. The Lord said, when you eat of that fruit, that you're going to die. And why are you going to die? Because sin entered into the world, and sin is going to kill your body. And the death die, the wicked die as a result of sin, the same way that your body is going to die. Now, you're saved and your soul is saved. Your body is not saved, though. The sin that you've been involved in your life is going to kill your body, and your body's going to go back to the dust, just like the Lord said, unless he comes and changes it. But it's different for the saint than it is for the wicked. Okay? Death is what all mankind from Adam's seed inherited. Because when Adam sinned, he became cursed with sin. It became part of him. Not just what he did, but what he became. What he was. And his seed also. And when his seed was passed down, naturally, the way that man's seed is passed down through a woman into to make another child, naturally, when Adam and Eve had their children, the curse of sin, as being now part of them, also became part of their children. The Bible says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, Adam's children, Adam's children's children, Adam's children's children's children, all the way to us, all men, for that all have sinned. No human has ever been excluded from this curse. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned, except for one, the Word of God incarnated in the flesh. He became flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 14, and the Word, capital W, talking about Jesus Christ's person, himself, his physical self, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word of God incarnated, became flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. And because all men are sinners, they all sin. And because all men sin, they die. That's easy, isn't it? And that's Bible. That's what God says. And all you have to do is look in the obituaries. Tomorrow morning you'll find out that it's still happening. You know how many people have died since Adam that have died? All of them. Every one of them. Genesis chapter 2, except for the Lord Jesus Christ. He died, but he died for a reason, not because of sin. He died because of somebody else's sin. And he died, and the Lord resurrected him, and that's the difference for us. That's the difference for us. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. The Lord said that he didn't want man knowing the difference between the knowledge of the difference between good and evil. Apparently, Adam and Eve had no idea what evil was or what it meant. Or was able to compare something between evil and good. They were just perfect, like the Lord. The Lord had made them perfect, and he did not make them with sin or the knowledge of sin, of good and evil. They couldn't even say what was good or bad because it was not there. But when they ate of that tree, it fell upon them, and it changed them, and they knew. And they sinned, and they died, and sin killed them. And you can imagine Adam lived way longer than any of us now, 900 and something years. And all his children lived, and until it got down to about 120, the Lord changed it. And then it got down to about 70 when the Lord changed it again. And now people are living around 70 or 80 years. And, you know, I mean, there's exceptions to the rule, but that proves the rule. The rule is that what God said, he changed man so man wouldn't have to live in that sinful flesh so long. God's merciful. So we're talking about the death of the wicked. The death of the wicked is the result of sin. It's not because God hates people and because God wants to destroy these and not destroy these other ones. It's because of sin. Ezekiel chapter 18, the Bible says in verse 4, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now, in the Old Testament, I'm just going to tell you this sort of help you out. When the Bible, you say, well, I thought it was the body that died. It is the body that dies. In the Old Testament, when they talked about souls, they were talking about the body because the soul was still attached to the body in the Old Testament because Jesus had not suffered yet. So when the Bible speaks of the soul in the Old Testament, the majority of the time, it's talking about the body. It's talking about the person, the body, okay? The soul doesn't die, cease to exist. The body dies, okay, and decays. And if you we read about the Lazarus and the rich man, that was the Old Testament. And when they died, the souls went to two different places. One went to Abraham's bosom, one went to hell, remember? But the bodies went in the grave, the Bible said. Okay, so in the Old Testament, remember that. When the Bible's talking about the soul of a man, a lot of times it's talking about that the body is still attached to the soul in the Old Testament, and they are considered one. Okay, in the New Testament, after somebody is born again, it's different. Your soul is not attached to your body anymore. It's still, you're still in there and walking around in this body, and this body's wrapped around you, but you're not attached to it anymore. Okay? Because the Lord circumcised you spiritually and cut you loose from that body. Okay, well, we'll get into some more of that on another study. But just to let you know, so you can understand this verse a little bit more. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. The Bible says that the reason that the wicked die, the death of the wicked, is the result of sin. The Lord said it was the iniquity that killed them, that kills them. All souls are his. He's talking about them bodies too. He said, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. James chapter 1 and verse 15, the Bible says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. There's the process of sin to death. From death, it backs up and it goes to sin. There's sin before death. And before sin, there's a conception that happens. And the conception is a lust that somebody has been playing around with. And when that lust is conceived and followed through with, it brings forth sin. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death, the Bible says. The wicked, the death of the wicked is the result of sin. And that's not all. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. You say, well, what is sin? Well, sin is transgressing the law. And what is the law? God's rules. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. You know better. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. So when somebody is accused of sin, or found to have sinned, what they're saying is they have transgressed or sinned against God. All sin is against God, the Bible says, because it is against His law, and somebody on purpose deliberately transgresses God's law when they knew better. I'm guilty. Now you? Sure you are. That's why we die. But the saved, The born-again child of God dies differently than the wicked. A death of the wicked is the result of sin, because they die with their sin upon them instead of upon somebody else. They die accountable for their sin. We don't die accountable for our sin. We're not even accountable for our sin in a permanent way or in an eternal way right now. Jesus has paid for our sins and taken them out of the way. As far as God is concerned, we are righteous. And we are righteous, we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ on us. And we are not sinners, we are saints that sin. And the reason that we sin is because of the flesh. Now that's what Paul gets into over in the Corinthians. That talks about what he would do, he does not, and what he wants to do, he does. What he does not want to do, he does. And he said that he finds a law that when he would do good, he can't. And when he don't want to do good, he does. And we get into all that with the saved over in the New Testament. We'll talk about that on another study. But we're talking about death. That's what our study is about. We've talked about how saints die, and today we're talking about death of the wicked. And one thing is the death of the wicked is the result of sin. Another thing, that's not all. The death of the wicked is often punishment. It's often punishment. Nowhere in the scriptures does the Bible say that a saint is going to be punished. And you're not going to be punished. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. You're never going to get a finger pointed at you and condemned by God, because Jesus has paid for all that. It's over with. God's wrath was poured out on Christ for your sake. And you accepted Christ and believed on him. Therefore, God has judicially and lovingly taken your sin and put it on Christ. And Christ paid for it. It's finished, it's over with, and you have the righteousness of Christ. You don't have to go to court for your sin and God's courtroom. We're going to go before the Lord for the things that we did in the body, for rewards and things like that. But there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ. But there is condemnation to the wicked. If you die in your sin and you die as a wicked man, according to the scriptures, the death of the wicked is often punishment. The Bible says in Job chapter 31 and verse 3, is not destruction to the wicked and a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? The Bible also says in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 21, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. But the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 22 and verse 24, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword. And your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. Does that sound like a lovey-dovey, can't wait to give you a kiss and a hug, God? That sounds like a God to be scared of and get saved and accept his son as your savior before it's too late. Because the death of the wicked is punishment. Nobody gets away with anything, and nothing gets by God when it comes to dealing with the wicked. He does keep accurate records and is going to divvy out the just punishment for every person who is his enemy and mocks at his mercy and grace. You better believe it. Because it's true. It's what the scriptures say. The Bible says in Isaiah, listen to this, in chapter 13 and verse 11, and I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. So, everybody that you see that walks around and deliberately cusses God and is arrogant and proud and haughty and thinks, oh yeah, whatever, God, God, God this and God, God, God that, and phooey on God and blabbity, blabbity, blah. The Lord said He's going to deal with that. He's going to deal with it. You can believe that if Moses stood, and when he stood before God, he said he exceedingly quaked and feared when he actually stood before the living God. He exceedingly quaked and feared. If Moses said that, what do you think about these rascals, these wicked that are going to stand before God that have been arrogant and proud and have died in their sin, and they're going to stand before the living God, their Creator? Ain't going to be no arrogancy and proud and haughtiness in front of the Lord. It's going to be quaking is what it's going to be, where your body just shakes uncontrollably. It quakes. You can't stop it because you're so scared. True, it's the Bible. It's what God says. And this is what the death of the wicked is going to be like. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23, it says, "But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." And it does. All of you saved people out there, my brothers and sisters, you know that your sin will find you out, don't you? Yes, it does. It's found me out. My sin has followed me and found me out. And the Lord does everybody differently. When you're a son, you will pay for your sin. Jesus paid for our sin as far as eternally. And the things that you in the body are misbehaving and showing out as a child of God, God deals with that. And you're going to pay for it. The Lord says that everybody receives a whooping, and you're going to get one too if you misbehave and you show out and you let that body go and do what it wants to do, and you despise God the Holy Ghost and put the flesh up above Him and let the flesh make choice before God the Holy Ghost makes choice with you, and you follow the flesh, God's going to deal with you about it. But with the wicked, it's different. A lot of people today think that God, if they think of Him at all, as a big, jolly, smiley-faced God that passes out as many warm fuzzies and as possible and can't wait to give anyone a big, fat kiss. If this is your impression of the God of the Bible, you really should make another evaluation, consider the verses that we just got through talking about. Because according to the New Testament, the worst is yet to come. The worst is yet to come for the wicked. The only reason the wicked are not getting are not quaking in their flesh right now and God isn't dealing with them is because God is long-suffering and slow to anger and full of mercy and not willing that any should perish. Now, what is perishing? Dying in your sins. You die with your sins upon you and not upon Jesus. You die and you're going to be responsible for them in God's courtroom. That is not the way to die. That's the death of the wicked. And the Bible doesn't speak good about that anywhere. That's not all. Not only is the death of the wicked often punishment, and the death of the wicked is the result of sin, but the death of the wicked is, it's unpleasant to the Lord. Yeah. The Lord doesn't get pleasure out of somebody dying and him having to punish them for eternity. But he will. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11, the Bible says, "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel?" And the Lord's mind is still the same concerning this matter with the wicked, with exception that the Lord leads them to his Son. "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." God did all the work. You don't have to do nothing. All you have to do is accept Jesus Christ by your free will. You choose to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior according to the Scriptures. And God says he'll save you for eternity. And he'll put your sins on Jesus and you'll die as a saint and not a wicked man. That's what the Bible says. But it says God's not willing that any should perish. He gets no pleasure in the death of the wicked. How would a loving God get pleasure in the death of the wicked when he knows what's fixing to happen to him? The worst is yet to come for the wicked. And there is nobody in hell that wouldn't accept a pardon. But there's no pardon coming. It's for eternity. And the choices you get to make when it comes to your relationship with the Lord and his Son are while you're in the body. When you leave that body, time's up. "It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Your decision has been made." 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Bible says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The death of the wicked is unpleasant to the Lord. He doesn't get any pleasure and stand there and go, and all that kind of goofy garbage like that. That's not the way God is. But he is a just judge. And this matter of sin and ungodliness and being a sinner and the curse of sin has been remedied and taken care of, and every human being has the opportunity to get out of it because God's made it possible. So if somebody dies, they die in rebellion to what God's provision for his life is. The Lord's not willing that any should die. But if you choose to die that way, woe unto you. You die as a wicked man. And he says he's not going to clear the guilty. If you're guilty, he's going to deal with you guilty. And that's not a way you want to meet the Lord. And you know death's coming. Are you going to die as a saint? Or are you going to die as a wicked man? Or woman? The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth?" That's God's mind. That's his heart. If the Lord didn't care about the human race, why did he send his Son? Why did Jesus come and die? He died for sinners. He died for all men, even the wicked.
It's not Christ's fault that people die and go to hell. It's not God's fault that people die and go to hell. Men have a free will. And if they're arrogant and they're proud and arrogant and haughty and want to live their life like that and want to die without God's mercy, God will let them die without His mercy. And He will not have mercy on them. If you want God's mercy, it's through Jesus Christ. That's easy. God made it so easy, even a child can accept Jesus. And in another place, He said, if you don't come to Me as a little child, you just believe what God's Word said. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But that's not all. The death of the wicked is unpleasant to the Lord, the Bible says. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, we read that. Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37, the Bible says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, this is when the Lord was in the flesh and He was in His ministry. He said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. Talking about the Old Testament before Jesus showed up, when God would send prophets to them and try to get them to change their ways and come to the Lord. He said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often I would have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. There's that will. There is such thing as the old saying, you'd better get it while the getting's good. If there were ever some good advice for someone headed for death, this is it. God is no one to be toying with. He doesn't want to, but He will. Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. What we just got through reading, the Lord said He would gather them as chickens under His wings, and He wanted to, and He sent the prophets for that reason, to get them to repent, and they stoned the prophets, and they killed the prophets. And the Lord said, and ye would not. Death is unpleasant to the Lord. The death of the wicked is unpleasant to the Lord. And that's not all. There's another one. Death of the wicked, the death of the wicked is without hope. There's no more hope. None. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, the Bible says, But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now that's, look at the way this verse is designed. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. He's talking to the saved, us, concerning them which are asleep. Notice, they're not dead, they're asleep. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Well, who are the others? The death of the wicked. The death of the wicked. Others. Other than the ones that are asleep. That do have to sorrow. We don't have to sorrow or worry about the people that have fallen asleep. That we love. Because they were born again and God's promise holds true to them. And they're in glory. They're with the Lord. Even as others which have no hope. Even as others which have no hope. None. No hope. God said that. The Word of God said that, even as others which have no hope. Who's that? The wicked. Who's the wicked? The ones that have rejected Jesus Christ and are still in their sin. That's not all. The death of the wicked is without hope. The Bible says in Revelation, listen to this, in chapter 20 and verse 10, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are." This is yet to come. "And shall be tormented, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." This is yet to come. It says death and hell are cast into this lake of fire. Hell is where the wicked go right now before this time in Revelation shows up. The wicked are going to die in their sin. They're not going to get any relief, no hope. They're going to be tormented day and night forever and ever, and they're going to be in hell. They're going to go to hell when they leave that body, and then hell is going to be cast into the lake of fire. So the wicked are going to end up with the devil, the false prophet, and the beast in the lake of fire. That's what the Bible says. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6 says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Completely and utterly different scenario. The death of the saints and the death of the wicked. Did you get that? Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. The first resurrection is everybody that died as a righteous person from the Old Testament to the gospel of the grace of God, and Jesus paid for their debts, their sin, and they died in that way. Fell asleep. It says that the people that have to do in the first resurrection, the second death has no power over you. Isn't that wonderful? So, the death of the wicked. Completely different truth in the Scriptures. The Scriptures do not. Did you see anywhere where the Bible gave hope to the wicked? Any place at all that we've been talking about? It doesn't. And it's not going to. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 25, "Withhold thy foot from being unshod, and thy throat from thirst. But thou saidst, there is no hope. No, for I have loved strangers, and after them will I go." Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, the Bible says, "That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. That was you, brother and sister. But now that you've been born again, you don't have to worry about that mess anymore. You're going to die as a saint. You're going to fall asleep as a saint. Death. You're going to fall asleep as a saint. And everything that we talked about on the previous two recordings about the death of the saint is going to be you. But if you were not saved, you would still be separated from God, having no hope and without God in the world, and then you would die and you would leave that body and go straight to hell. That's what the Bible says. And the wrath of God would be upon you. Now, this is probably one of the most disturbing things to a human that there is. We wonder why people kill themselves, and there's never a real explanation for it. Now, in 2021, it's 2022 as we speak, but in 2021, there's 5-year-olds in the United States that hanged themselves. Yeah. A 5-year-old stops and looks around him and says, there's no hope. That is what happens when you tell the Lord he's not welcome anymore in your country. And that's what America's done. It's kicked the Lord out, and the Lord said, okay. And he took his hands off the country, and look what's happening. Even a 5-year-old knows that there is no chance of hope for the living. Then some die and go to hell and find out there is no hope for the dead. Some say, some people have said and mentioned, I believe it was, they said it was over one of the death camps at Hitler, something like that. But anyway, that over hell there's a sign that says, all who enter here abandon all hope. Now, we're talking about the death of the wicked. This does not apply to the death of a saint. Completely different. That's what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. That's what the Bible says. I hope you've received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you haven't, Jesus Christ died for you. And it's real as you looking in the mirror and as real you looking at your hands and pinch yourself. It's Jesus Christ as real as that. God is real as that. And this matter of dying is real also, no matter how much you ignore it. You're going to die. A person is a complete fool and an idiot for not preparing for eternity. Now, the Lord's made provision in the Scriptures and backed it up with His written word and given it to you in writing as a document that you can look at and say, this is what God has said, and I'm going this route with the Lord, and I'm going to trust the Lord to keep His word with me and get me to heaven and forgive my sins. And you can ask anybody that's been saved whether it's real. I'm telling you, it's real. He saved me. And I've been saved for over 40 years now. And He's never abandoned me once. Believe what you want. It's your will. But you're going to either die and Jesus is going to bear your sins, and you're going to fall asleep and Jesus is going to bear your sins, you're going to fall asleep and go be with the Lord, or you're going to die and you're going to carry your sins with you, and you're going to be responsible, and you're going to stand before the Lord with your sins, and you're going to be responsible for them before the Lord. And that is not what you want to happen. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You should do that when we finish up here. You should just bow your head and tell the Lord that you know that you're a sinner and you confess that and that you want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you believe what the Scriptures have said, that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. And with the best way that you know how, ask the Lord to save you. And then thank Him for your salvation, because once you do that, He's going to save you and keep His word with you. God never lies. He cannot lie. Amen. All right, we're going to stop right there. And next study, we're going to be still, or the next recording that we're going to have and study we're going to have together is going to be natural death. What does the Bible say about death when it's natural? What does the Bible say? And we're going to look at that, and we're going to enjoy it and have fellowship around it. So praise the Lord. Let me give you these scriptures right quick, if you got your pencil there or your pen, and I'll give those to you. You ready? Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Romans chapter 1, verse 14. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4 and 20. James chapter 1, verse 5. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Job chapter 31, verse 3. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 21. Exodus chapter 22, verse 24. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 11. Let's see here. Numbers chapter 32, verse 23. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. 1 Timothy chapter... 1 Thessalonians, not Timothy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. Verse 14 and verse 15. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 25. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. And the last one for today is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. There you go. All right. Well, the Lord bless you and thank you for joining in today. And praise the Lord that He does make difference between saints and the wicked. And we see how we ought to pray and try to win people to the Lord and bring them into the kingdom of God. But some people are going to die and stubborn and going to die and be God's enemy, and that's their choice. But not mine. I've accepted the Lord, and once you've accepted the Lord, you can't get out of God's family. God adopts you, and you are permanently in God's family and on your way to be with the Lord. And now you just deal with the Lord as your heavenly Father and behave yourself. And we try to do the things that are pleasing in His sight. And one of them is studying together and honoring His Word. And you've done that. So the Lord bless you. And I'll talk to you on the next recording. And look forward to it. And I love you with Christ's love. I love you with Christ's love. We'll talk about death, natural death, on our next one, okay? This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.